Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome back to the Redemption Report podcast. Today I have with me my dad's cousin, Mary Morgan, and I'm very thankful that she agreed to do this. She's a little nervous, but I'm sure everything will go in as we get started. So, Mary, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's a pleasure now. That's good. That's good. So, just a little bit of your background. Like, I know you came into the area to sell some books, and so I understand that you write books about national parks and mystery. What can you tell us a little bit about what that's all about?
Later in life, I have the joy of writing books. That's been my passion. I've always wanted to write books for kids. So after my own were grown and gone, I had the time to start writing, and now we sell them. And they are real appealing to the homeschool market. They're national park mystery books full of history, geography, science, adventures that homeschool families can take and live out in a national park. Any family can, but homeschoolers take extended vacations.
That's true.
And they look for ways to educate their kids, especially in national parks. So that's what I include in my books. And it has proven to be a perfect match for us. So I was down here in Cincinnati selling at a great homeschool convention. And we extended to see the eclipse, and we get to go to church with you, and now we're doing this.
Yeah. This is being recorded the day before the eclipse. So if the world ends, this episode won't air.
This happened.
So how many books have you written in total for that series?
For the National Park series, 10.
Okay.
My newest one just came out last week, the Lewis and Clark Trail, because 220 years ago in May, they set sail from Pittsburgh in search of a waterway out to the Pacific.
Wow.
So it's things like that that I like to put into my books.
For sure. Do you have a vision for how many there's going to be in total?
I don't. Right now, our table is full. Randy has said if we get any more books, we're going to have to get a second table. So, but it's, I will probably always have a story in my head.
Okay.
Because we've been to 61 national parks, and there are always things happening that I think, that would make a good plot.
Yeah.
So, who knows? After each book comes out, I decompress for a while. Then all of a sudden something happens, and it's like, I think I'm ready to start again.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing this now for about 12 years. And then I have a couple books for preschoolers that are just fun books. But
okay.
My main market is National Park Mysteries.
Okay.
.com.
Did you grow up with like going to national parks, or did you grow up with history, or how did
there are nine people in my family, and we had big station wagons. Well, we started out with a Volkswagen bus,
okay.
I remember. And then my folks went to the nine-passenger folks, the big station wagons where the third seat sat backwards and you kind of saw where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we went to the Thousand Islands. We went to Mount Rushmore one year. We went to Huntsville, Alabama, and Colorado Springs, different places that my folks would travel. And so we got to see a lot of the country growing up. And then when Randy and I got married, we continued traveling. And especially now with our own kids, we traveled, and now our grandkids. That's a really Christmas gift now, is to have a mystery trip in the summertime. So we hit national parks and they absolutely love it.
Nice.
And they have now become characters in my books.
Okay.
Which they think is a lot of fun.
Well, that's fun. It's good to be able to do something and be able to enjoy what you're doing. And obviously, if you've written this many, it sounds like you've been successful. So it's nice that God is blessing in that way.
I especially like to be around kids. Mm-hmm. So to write for kids and to sell books to kids, we have our picture taken together with my big banner, the pull-up banner by the Grand Canyon. And
okay.
So we just have fun doing that.
Nice. So, like, if you can share with us just a little bit of where you grew up, kind of what was your background? What was family life like?
Mm-hmm. I grew up in Vesto, New York, in a little section called Ross
Corners.
I've
heard of that before. That's where my parents are from.
Yes, you sure have. Yes. Our families grew up together. Your mom and dad. Your dad was my cousin. Your mom went to my church and my Christian school, and I babysat her.
Okay.
So our families were pretty close all the time growing up, and Ross Corners Baptist Church was a big influence in my life, and my grandparents, your great-grandparents attended there and had a big influence in the church. And our family lived just 3 blocks from the church, so we were always there all the time. But just having my friends there, and then I went to the Ross Corners Christian School. So that's where my friends were until I graduated in 1968. Mm. So I had a strong Baptist Christian upbringing that has continued to influence my life.
Yeah. So you started, and I've, for those that haven't been in the area, which it's a smaller part of New York in the upstate, not nowhere near the city, but so you were starting at the old church down Owego Road, and then it, when they built the new one, that's, I guess, when you moved there along with the Christian school as well.
So, yeah, it was, we outgrew it. It was just a small old church, and 400 people came, and, well, we had a hellfire and brimstone pastor.
Okay.
And I think that's why a lot of kids got saved, because he preached, you know, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And it was driven into us that, yes, we want to spend eternity in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we were baptized and joined the church and became real faithful.
Yeah. Do you remember it sounds like growing up in church, you would have heard about Jesus from a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first time that you kind of made the connection that Jesus loved you in particular? It wasn't just like a story or just wasn't an idea, but like you had could have a relationship with him?
I'm one of those kids that cannot pinpoint it.
Sure.
Because it was something from birth on up that you always heard it. And Christian radio and records and parents that just influenced you in that way that I can't. And I went to a Christian Lamoka Bible camp. So it was there that was a big influence for 7 years. I went every year. And so, but I think I was baptized probably about 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Okay.
And then later joined the church. And
yeah, that's wonderful. That's nice.
Remained
that you,
faithful all through my teen years on up.
You learned it from a young age. It was like learning the sky is blue, like you've known that your whole life. And, you know, it's cool that that was very much a part of your upbringing.
Yeah, because so many of my aunts and uncles went to the church on both sides of my families. And so it's like, that's just a natural thing to do.
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned you were about 8 or 9 when you got baptized. Preceding that, do you remember the exact moment you accepted Christ, or do you remember the circumstances surrounding that?
No, I can't.
Okay.
I know what happened,
but you don't remember. Yeah.
I've questioned other people who had the same circumstances, and they say, no, I can't.
Okay.
Because even Child Evangelism Fellowship, we went to their Bible clubs and like that, and it's like, I was totally surrounded all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that at one time, I know I raised my hand many times. I mean, you kind of get a little insecure, and you think, okay, but then for sure you learn your salvation is secure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I imagine if you got baptized, the church would have done their due diligence to make sure that you believed. And so that's cool that you were able to believe at a very early age. I know in my own story, I made a profession when I was like 3, but I don't really remember. Most of what I remembered of it was my parents telling me. And so it was something that when I was like 7 or 8, I nailed down for sure. But yeah, it's the older we get, the harder it is to remember those early years.
Yeah.
So after accepting Christ, obviously growing up in church and things, there may not have been a lot of specific things or huge things that you had to change. But what changes do you believe happened in your life, or can you remember anything that changed as a result of following Christ?
It was pretty much a daily commitment, living the life that you knew would honor God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of my mother's favorite expressions was, do that which honors and glorifies the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was in my conscience that that's what I wanted. I'm a people pleaser. So for me, it was like, I don't want the heaviness of a sin and regrets and all that lying back there in the back of your brain. Like, you just want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord so you can be a good influence on other people.
Yeah. Was there anything like as you grew up where a point in time where you had to kind of choose to continue following Christ, or had an opportunity to go away, or where you had to kind of solidify, like, no, for me and my house, I'm going to serve God?
No, when I graduated from high school, I went to Baptist Bible College in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Randy and I had met when we were teenagers.
Your husband.
He was a student there, and then I became a student, and then in 1970, we married. He graduated in 71, and Then we went into church ministry. So it's kind of like I've been on the straight and narrow path most of my life, but I've not regretted it.
Yeah.
I just have enjoyed church ministry all these years. And
was that your thought or plan when you were in junior high, high school, that you were going to be a pastor's wife or doing ministry? Or what did you think you were going to do?
I always felt the hand of God in my life. I didn't know what it would ever look like, but I was just, it was drummed into as ask God to show you his will.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep taking the steps. And the steps that I followed seemingly were God's will for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a resistance. And I enjoyed it because I love the people in our church and in my school. They were all like friends to me forever. And a lot of the kids I grew up with, I remain friends with even mm-hmm. to this day. And through the beauty of Facebook,
yeah,
we're all connected. And I love the connections.
Yeah.
Still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really encouraging to hear, because so many people's stories involve somewhat of a Jonah experience, where maybe they were walking with God and then God told them to do something or called them to, and they went away for a while and then they came back. But
mm-hmm.
sounds like for you, you didn't have to go through all the heartache of having to decide to do other things. You just said, you know what, this makes the most sense. You know, God is for me. I want to just stay with him and move forward with my life.
And one of the big things that was drummed into us is date Christians so that you don't have the issues that they might bring into the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And when I married Randy, he was a Christian. He sang in a quartet at his church, and we had continual contact, and we dated for 4 years, and it was just easy
mm-hmm.
just to keep going on that path.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're matched with someone of like mind and mm-hmm. has the same goals and desires, makes the life a lot easier. It can still be done with someone who has something different, but how much easier when you mm-hmm. are pursuing the same thing together.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember not too long ago when I was like 15, I started working in the kids program in my church growing up, in Children's Church, Junior Church, and I thought that's kind of where my teaching of kids really started.
Mm-hmm.
And it has never quit, 50-some years later. We just keep teaching kids.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool. What, in your time following Christ, be it pretty much all your life, but what are some joys that you'd like to share with people, like this God allowed to happen because of your relationship mm-hmm. with him?
We've been in 4 churches in Michigan serving. First, my husband was the associate pastor. Then he was Christian that was in Caro up in the Thumb. And then we moved to Port Huron, where he was a Christian ed director. And then we were associate pastor and youth directors, and we ran with teenagers. And for me, I love people. I like being with them, learning their stories, just doing what they like to do and sharing things and
mm-hmm.
entertaining, having parties.
Yeah.
Having things with kids and their families.
Yeah.
Yeah,
God's given you the joy through hospitality, gift he's given
mm-hmm.
you. That's great. Have you had anything that's come across your path in your time following Christ where it was not always easy to follow, or any time where you said this was maybe a crisis of faith that you experienced?
I think some of the hardest things to deal with are when people's behavior disappoints you. When they have trying circumstances and their natures show through, and it's like you can't preach to them, you can't change their lives, mm-hmm. you can't make them do anything, but you can just try to deal with them and pray for them and not let it affect me and how I would treat them.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I still want to be a person that doesn't have a lot of regrets in my own behavior
mm-hmm.
towards people. So I want to be a good influence still.
Yeah. That can be challenging when, mm-hmm. you know, like when we're working or, you know, living life with other believers and we all ascribe to the same ideals and, you know, we all believe that the Bible is what we should be seeking to follow based on the fact that it's God's word. And when others don't follow that, it can be very mm-hmm. frustrating, to your point, or even like, well, if they're not following, maybe I don't have to in this case, but that can be very frustrating.
Yeah, and when new people start coming to a church, they may be a believer or they may not be. Mm-hmm. And so they bring in their standards and their ways of doing things, and it can be testy at times.
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, with someone hearing your story, what would be a big takeaway that you'd like to leave them with?
I think praying a lot, committing your life to God. When I first started writing, I had a publisher, and he would mention things to me, and I would say, I got to pray about that. And he said, you pray about a lot, don't you? I said, I pray about everything. Mm-hmm. Because once you make a decision, especially like in the writing world, publishing like that, you have to pretty much stick with what your decisions are. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so I even tell kids now, I was asked last month down in Greenville, South Carolina, when I was at another convention, and a young girl about 13 who's been buying my books now for several years, she wants to write. And she and her mom came up and she said, I have a question. How do you know what to do? I said, you have to pray a lot. I said, most of you homeschoolers come from a Christian background. And she and her mom beamed at me and said, yes. I said, good, then you know the importance of prayer. Mm-hmm. And that you should pray and just ask God for his will and his direction. And I said, God will show you in one way or another how you can do this. Mm-hmm. And that was the perfect takeaway for her. And had anybody asked me anything else, it's like, I don't know what I'd say exactly. But it's like, you just want to be a good influence for the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that prayer is often something that people say, oh, I need to improve on. But it does make a huge difference when you are actively talking to God on a regular basis. I know in my own life, Caitlin, my wife and I were about a year and a half ago or so, a little bit more than that, just talking and saying, we really need to grow in our faith. Like, we want to continue growing, but like, it's one thing to say, oh, I want to grow, but another thing to actually do it. And we started praying together every night. And we came up with an idea, of how we would pray and different things, for each day of the week, and alliterated and all that. Mm-hmm. But, that has helped our communication grow. It has helped our intimacy, just knowing each other better, and, really feel more connected. So it has, other advantages beyond just, okay, I checked that off the box, or yeah, I'm praying. But like, we think about people differently, I believe, or remembering different things that are going on in their lives as a result of making priorities. So I definitely agree and think mm-hmm. that is something that can be so powerful that so many believers don't tap into.
I think what's really important too is to look at your own personality and know yourself and what you like. And for me is, I try to find ways to be thankful and have an attitude of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that really makes for a happier life. Mm-hmm. And you can look at other people and be happy for them and the things that they are doing and what they've accomplished, and just realize that's what God has for them, and he has different things for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can be real happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing your story today. I know you briefly mentioned the website, but if someone wanted to find more of your, or find the books that you write or learn more about you, where would they go?
It's called nationalparkmysteries.com. Nice and easy.
Okay.
And shameless promotion. Thank you very much.
No, not shameless at all.
See, that's the thing, because I even didn't know what I wanted to write about when I first went to a Christian writers conference. And I knew I wanted to write, but I didn't know what. So I went for 2 years, they were week-long seminars, but I found that my niche was, and they tell you, find your niche, it was for writing for kids. Mm-hmm. I love mysteries, and we like to travel, so I did that for national parks, and it's proven to be a success story.
Yeah.
And totally, it's marketed to the general market, so I can go into public schools, any kind of schools, any kind of settings, and especially the homeschool market. Great. And find success.
What's the title of your most recent one that just came out a week?
It's Escape on the Lewis and Clark Trail. 220 years ago in May, they set sail from Pittsburgh to find a waterway to the Pacific Ocean.
Great.
So this one's all about wilderness survival.
Okay.
So they're full of adventures and things that kids can learn.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you for sharing your story of how you came to Christ.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
After speaking with Mary and listening to her story, the word that kept coming to mind was faithfulness. While Mary's story doesn't include some jaw-dropping event that turned her to Christ, her life has embodied devoted consistency. 2 Timothy 3, 14-16 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." An incredibly encouraging part of Mary's story is that from an early age she chose to follow God, which prevented her from experiencing many of the dangerous consequences of sinful living. May God be praised for the desire and passion for Him that He enabled Mary to exhibit. This concludes the 18th episode of Redemption Report. Don't forget to leave a comment of encouragement or how this podcast has impacted your life. You can reach me directly or find more content by going to my website, tewareproductions.com. See you on the next episode of Redemption Report.